Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live on this blustery, brisk day from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. Last couple weeks, we've built up quite a lot of suspense and anticipation, I hope, for our guest today. Mr. Dennis Leap is a staff writer, a radio host, a college instructor here. And I was thinking last week while preparing for this that a lot of your job just involves improving lives. I'm not trying to hype you up too much, but it must be great to be involved in all these different projects.
Well, it's really exciting. I always tell people that I think I have the best job ever.
It seems like just really fulfilling to be involved in so many different aspects of communication, which is something that it maybe isn't for everyone, but it's certainly something that at least we probably enjoy especially. It's great to have a job like that.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, the thing is, I've spent a lot of time with your grandfather, and you know, I've known him since I was 23. And one of the things he's always encouraged me about is he said, you know, you have a good personality. You know how to work with people. You can write. You can speak, you can teach. And he said, that's what we need to get working and organized and have it all move in the right direction. So I feel like I have that going for me right here. So that's really great.
Right. Full disclosure, my grandfather is Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Joe Fleury, for those of you who might not know that. And he does put a lot of emphasis on having communicators and people who can not only get a message across, but in a really memorable, a powerful way. The main reason we're having you on today is because you completed volume 13 of the Bible Story, which was given to PCG members at Feast of Tabernacles sites around the world just a couple months ago. But before we get into that, we also had the 30th anniversary of the PCG this past Sabbath, December 7th. The church is now 30 years old, and you've been around almost since day one. So obviously you could tell us quite a lot about that.
Yes, I was not at the very, very beginning. And of course, the when your grandfather got fired, that was December 7th, 1989. Now, obviously, I knew your grandfather really well. And we had been in pretty close communication over some of the horrible changes that were going on in the church. And I was up in the Buffalo area. I was serving as a local church elder at that time, and there were some really disturbing things happening. And it was your grandfather. He was the only one I could talk to that understood what was really going on. But I probably wasn't as courageous as I should have been, and so I didn't actually come along until I got my first copy of Malachi's message in January 1990. But by March 3rd, after reading Malachi's message and knowing what I knew, we were attending the Philadelphia Church of God. And I think our family made a total of 50 people at that time. So I wasn't at the very, very, very beginning, but I was in pretty quick.
Well, yes. March 3rd, you're coming up on your own 30-year anniversary.
I know.
Very few people could say they've been around for that long or started way back then and are still alive or still here. So it's a really impressive feat. Congratulations on that.
Oh, yeah. Well, we really feel that our family is blessed. I know my daughters were just really young children at the time. I think my oldest daughter, Rachel, was 14. I think Aaron was around 12. And I know when we sat at home one Sabbath and said, well, we've decided now that we're leaving the Worldwide Church and we're going to go with the Philadelphia Church, their reaction was a little mixed. I mean, Rachel had just started into YOU and the SEP areas, and she was a little concerned. But I know our daughter, Erin, said, wow, this is cool. So that really relieved me. And, of course, then Sarah and Emily were just too young to even really grasp. As long as Mom and Dad did it, they thought it was right, and they were going to go along. So that was really pretty exciting. But we've all been together now in the work 30 years. I have three daughters that are ministers' wives. And then, of course, Emily is the wife of our PE instructor here at the college, Dan Burns. So I think all of us feel like we've been in part of the work since the beginning.
So you're 4 for 4 as far as daughters who are still here, and then that is also leading to a lot of grandchildren.
That's right.
So that must also be really exciting. My parents are also grandparents. They just love every bit of that. It's to them, they say it's better than even being a parent. So
that's right.
That's really saying a lot, because even just being a parent is a joy every day.
Yes. Well, the thing that's interesting is you talk about grandchildren. We're going to have our 11th grandchild.
Wow.
So that'll be 11 grandchildren in the church. But the thing is, I think what's really exciting is I've known your mother since she was a teenager. I've known your uncle since he was 6. And so, and of course, your father, I've known him. He was in the Buffalo church when I was a local church elder there. So we've known each other for years. So it is like we're one big family. And but we're still, we have a very serious job to do. I think all of us know that. And it is a tough message that we have to get out to the world, but it's a very exciting message.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that my father was in the same area as you back in the Worldwide Church of God. I've kind of always wondered what he was like back in those days. Maybe you could tell me a little bit.
Well, the thing is, he has always been a person that is really concerned for other people. And when we had actually left the Worldwide, and he didn't understand everything because he was actually in the North Church, but he made a point out to come out where I worked, and his boss, they were taking care of some industrial things at that time, and I worked for Westinghouse at that time, and he made a point the day he came out to do some work out there, he found out where my office was, and he came to me, and he said, "Why have you done this to your family? Why have you left the church? Why have you done this?" And I said, "Well, do you have a few minutes?" And he said, "Sure." And I said, "Well, let's have a little chat." And so we talked about a few things, and I mentioned a few things about what was going on, and I said, "Now you can read this for yourself in the Worldwide News," and we won't get necessarily into that subject at the time, but he went back and he read it. And I had a copy of Malachi's message on my floor, and I offered it to him, and he took it. And so he did come back a couple weeks later, and he was really quite shocked because he hadn't been keeping up with, reading the Worldwide News, but he found a few things in there that he thought, wow, this is really not good.
Pretty major changes just less than 3 years, or just around 3 years after Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong died, the founder of the church. So it's funny the way my dad tells it, because it's almost like you provoked him, you challenged him into proving it for himself.
I did.
And then he's never been one to back down from a challenge as long as I've been around. So he definitely went after that, and he read Malachi's message pretty much in one sitting.
Right. And then, but the thing is, the point is there, is that he was concerned for me is what motivated him to come. And that was really, good. And then God just kind of got him back. He said, "Okay, let me throw a challenge down now."
That's just amazing how that all worked out. And then here we are all this time later. I mean, I wasn't even alive back then. And you're seeing me here today, too. And
oh, I know.
The family just keeps going on and on. So
I remember the day you were born.
Incredible.
And your sister and your other sister and your brother. So.
Right. Yeah.
So, no, but it's so great that we can all be working together like this.
Definitely. So I guess we can get into the volume 13. I've been actually reading this and then turning to the verses that are referenced in the book. And it's really been great for cross-referencing different passages in the Bible so that I can basically link all the verses that are related to each other. I think it's really important to just mention that it's not really just a book for children. It really is something that adults can benefit from. Again, my father's systematically just gone through every one, and he's going to finish all of them because he enjoys them that much. So what is it like writing a creative story that tries to make the Bible come alive so that young children can understand it, but beyond that, adults have a wonderful time reading it too?
Well, I think that was one of the reasons why I know that there were a lot of people in favor of me taking some time off doing other writing to write this. And I think it's because I think God has given me a talent to be able to make things come alive. And of course, you know, in our editorial meetings, and especially the ones that you're, let's say Mr. Gerald Fleury has conducted, he always has encouraged us to learn how to make the Bible come alive. And so the thing is, when this opportunity came up to do the book of Acts, I was really, really excited to do it. And I really wanted to do it because I felt like that was one of the books that would be, let's say, maybe has been not as popular with people. Maybe it wasn't as popular with me. I mean, people like to hear, read about the prophecies. They like to get into, like, understanding the book of Revelation. But I'll tell you that once I got into it, I was totally changed by it. And I learned more about this work and what it's about from reading and then trying to write the book of Acts so that Peter comes alive and that Paul comes alive. And I know one time even your grandfather, you know, cautioned me a little bit about my imagination, because I do have a very vivid imagination. I dream in color a lot. But when I was writing it, I felt like I was right there with Peter. I was right there with Paul. But the thing is, the Bible story, I wrote it with the idea of making it simple for children to understand, but I also tried to, incorporate what these men were thinking at the time, what they were really going through. And in many ways, we've been going through that in this church anyway. And the bottom line is, that I think I learned most from writing, is that Jesus Christ is in charge of this church. He's the one that's in control. And really, in some ways, the book of Acts, they call it the Acts of the Apostles, but I really think it's really the book of Acts of Christ leading his apostles. I mean, he's still a very active, living Savior that's leading us. And that came really clear writing it. There are some days I just felt like I had to go home and like come back to the 21st century.
Well, that's one thing that was so beautiful about studying this volume 13 was that it's so easy to relate the events of that time to now. I mean, I just felt like it was so much more vivid and clear to me, the connections between us today in the church and to them 2,000 years ago. The story picks up pretty much right after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and it really does show how everyone was feeling at that time. There was a good amount of discouragement, but then Christ met with them after he was murdered, and they were inspired by that. Right. And then it seems like right away they're getting all these chances to talk to huge groups of people and explain to them, look, all of you killed him. You killed the Son of the Living God. And they just so boldly proclaimed it without any fear, without any hesitation. And it just really does reinforce the lesson that is what God wants everyone in his true church to be a part of, just getting that message out there regardless of what other people think.
That's right. And the thing is if you go back to some of the previous volumes, and I did help edit those, by the way. I did not write them specifically. But this was a sole project. I had no other assistance other than the editors, you know. And so I think some of the previous volumes, maybe two or three people contributed just because of timing. Mm. But a couple of people said, we really need to have just one person writing this final one. And so when they came to me, I said, oh, yeah, I want to do this, you know. But if you go back and you look at some of the things like Peter had some real issues that he had to deal with, and you know, he didn't betray Christ, but he denied Christ. I mean, that weighed
three
heavy
times in a row in the same night.
That weighed heavy on his mind. And here Paul, I mean, here the great apostle Paul killed Christians. I mean, he was vehemently anti-Christians. And yet, look at the mercy of Christ. Christ still called him and had him do this incredible work.
Mm.
And most of the book of Acts is about him.
Well, that's really, I just thought it was so easy to relate to their experiences. And there's such a clear lesson to learn from those men. Like you said, Peter denied Christ. He did it three times in a row, just like Christ had warned him he was about to do. Peter said, I would never do that.
I'll
he immediately
that.
Goes and does the exact thing Christ told him he was going to do. And then Paul is out there capturing Christians and then bringing them to be put to death. And so it really just shows, no matter what our past is, no matter what mistakes we've made, what sins we've committed, there is a way to rebound from that. You don't have to just be bogged down in sin and discouraged by all that. There is always hope. And I think if we just read that and we try to apply that to our personal lives, it can be really life-changing.
Oh, yes, it is. It really is. And the thing is, I think the one thing I want to say is that even though I did the writing, there was really a big crew involved. You know, we had Julia Goddard, who's a student. She was the artist. Aubrey, Mercado. I mean, she was editor. Mr. Joel Hilliker, was the main editor. And of course, then we had Mr. Ryan Malone, Mark Jenkins. I mean, there was a lot of people that really were involved in this. And the thing is I guess they looked at me as the content generator. And but the thing is that I wanted to say is, a lot of the research I got from this, I got from Mr. Stephen Fleury's Epistles of Paul class. I mean, there's a lot of information there. And, he was always available to me when I had a question because, sometimes the way Luke wrote, he wrote, it was more of a history. And Luke was really working very hard to just give us the bits that we needed. He didn't give us all the background. And sometimes it's a little hard to understand what's really going on there, but your uncle was really able to step in there and kind of clear it up for me and was always ready to answer those kind of questions. So I feel like it's not just the writing, but it was the research that I grew from as well.
I always marvel at any time, not even just here in the church, but any time a book is put together. It's not just the person who wrote it. A lot of the time there's a book and it has the author's name on it, but then you don't always notice that there's probably dozens of other people who help out with it, and it's such a massive undertaking. Clearly, this was put together really well. I mean, just so impactful for me personally. I would really encourage anyone who was able to receive a copy to go through it, not just hand it to your children, but also go through it with your children. What a unifying opportunity that can be if you're all going through those same stories. It really does make a positive impact on you, regardless of your age. It doesn't matter what your background or experience level is with the Bible even. It just really is good to go through.
Yes. Yeah, well, I think one thing, the whole Bible story volume, now there's there were some copyright issues with the first six, and I don't know where we're really going to go with that. I would like to be involved in the first six. That would be really exciting.
Give us the complete set again, instead of the last seven,
right,
that we can give out.
Instead of the last seven, right. So we'll see how that goes. But the point is, I think one of the underlying things you can learn is the whole Bible is really a history of the men and women that God chose and who were willing to be loyal to God. They're just like you and I. Abraham, he may have lived at a different time. He may have worn different clothes. He may have been in a different society. But he had his struggles just like we do. And if you stay with God, you're going to get through. And look at the Apostle Paul. I mean, that guy was beaten. He was left for dead. He had the Jews against him. He had the Romans against him. I mean, he had everyone against him. He just kept plugging along, kept going through. That's some of my favorite stories, is when they were shipping him off to Rome. And he never backed down, and even the captain of the ship wouldn't listen to him. And he said, okay, we're going down, but we're going to be saved. If you just stick with me, you're going to be saved. And they were. What incredible faith of that man.
Yeah. It seemed like Paul was not only just persecuted with words, but he was just nearly put to death many times before he actually was. And then every time it seems like he just got up and started skipping away from it like nothing even happened.
That's right.
But he just was so positive because he had a vision in his mind.
Right.
And again, if you just read through this Bible story, you can see that there's a vision in there that any of us can take and put in our minds. And probably none of us have been shipwrecked or beaten many times or put to death, obviously. So there's our trials are nothing compared to that. And yet it can be so easy to bog down and get discouraged. We can look at Paul to see how to combat that.
Yeah. Yeah. When you look at Paul, like one of my big terrors is, you know, of course, right now in the English class, we're covering Moby Dick.
At the college.
And the big thing for me would be to be stuck in the ocean. There's one little guy gets stuck in the ocean. He's floating by himself overnight, and he went mad. Here, Paul did that more than once.
Right.
I mean, just the idea of whales and sharks can get you just like, he just really had a lot of faith. I mean, and Christ let him float.
Wasn't he the one who got bit by a snake and then just casually tossed it into the fire like it never even bothered him at all? He just slowly grabs it, flicks it into the fire, and then he's totally unaffected by it.
Yeah, and then the people wanted to worship him because they thought he was a god. He's going, no, don't worship me. I'm not God.
It's hilarious. Yeah, so you mentioned your English class. How's that been going? What's it like to try to get the next generation interested in not only the Bible, but some of the greatest works throughout history, like William Shakespeare's works?
Well, I think that the thing that again, there is a vision that we have here at the college that is unique in the sense that, we're not just a Bible college. We're, a liberal arts college, and that there are things that you can learn from great literature. And certainly, Mr. Joel Fleury has been intimately involved in choosing, what books we read, what Shakespeare plays we read. And these guys, when you look at someone like Ben Franklin, we cover Ben Franklin's autobiography, we cover Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness, then we cover Herman Melville's Moby Dick. These are challenging books. They're not easy reading. But what they do is they develop your ability to think. I mean, if you can begin to understand, and I was reading a chapter this morning of Moby Dick to get ready for, we have our final two classes this week for the semester, and I had to read it several times just to understand what is he trying to communicate. Then once I understood it, I thought, wow, he's really speaking about how to overcome human nature, and he's also showing what human nature is capable of, and it's capable of such great evil.
Sure is. I mean, even you mentioned Heart of Darkness. That's been personally highly recommended by Mr. Gerald Fleury.
Oh, yes.
And he really enjoys that book. That book talks about sort of the tense relationship between the colonizers and the colonized. And there's a lot of dynamics there that we probably would never even think of. Today, it's just fashionable to say the colonizers were all bad. In some cases, they were pretty brutal at times.
Right.
But you can't pin all the blame on just one side. It's a lot more complex than that. And that book really does bring to life something that was probably one of the main issues in the entire world the last couple centuries even.
That's right. That's right. And the thing is that we can show the students with the Heart of Darkness, and they finally got it, is that there's so many people down the British Empire. But the point is, Conrad, in some ways, was really trying to show there was a difference between the way the British Empire did it and in the way that the Belgian.
Because the Belgian was a lot worse.
It was a lot worse.
And that was the one that the book focused on.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And so there is a difference. Now, the British Empire did have some problems, but its overall thrust, look what happened. I mean, they did educate the world.
Right.
And they actually also, passed the Bible around the world. And so I'm not saying that they were any really great religious educators because they didn't have the truth that we know. But still, it is incredible, and that's history we need to understand. And even when you get into like Moby Dick, you have Ahab, who really could be a great leader. But he's so obsessed with one thing that he became an evil leader. And he led all those men on that ship to their death, except one, is Ishmael.
Wow.
And, you know, Ishmael lived to tell us about it. So, but even Melville was grappling with deep issues like, why is there evil? You know, why is there evil in the universe? And, you know, I really feel somewhat sad for these men because they were grappling with issues that we now have understanding on. And we know that after Christ's return and after the second resurrection, these men are going to come back to life, and we're going to be able to tell them, well, this is what happens.
Well, this is really such a distracted age, and it's hard for people to focus on any one thing now. Also on your radio show, Just the Best Literature, you get into just really trying to encourage people to read. You've covered Charles Krauthammer recently,
yeah.
Lawrence of Arabia, just some really great stories that we have to be able to focus on to read through them. We have to kind of raise the standard of our thinking, our ability to grasp the language, or else we're really missing out on just such gold, really.
Really. I mean, the thing is with Lawrence of Arabia, I mean, he had his, obviously he had his problems, but I'll tell you what, he was a great leader, and he and Churchill worked together. And the thing is you cannot understand the Middle East if you don't understand that history. And it was a fantastic opportunity for me. But I'll tell you what, that's a challenging book to read. It's not easy. And we are going to be covering Heart of Darkness on the radio. And we're actually going to be covering Moby Dick on the radio.
Well, that's exciting.
That's coming. But I have to really, really get ready for that. So, but right now we're doing something a little more lighthearted, but not really in a way, but we're doing Charles Krauthammer. And in some ways it's a part educationally good for me because I'm trying to change my writing style a little bit to write shorter and not so many, 1,500 to 2,500 word articles for the trumpet.com, but to kind of break them down maybe to 800 to 900 words.
Tough to do.
Yeah, and writing short is a lot harder than writing long.
Sure is.
But Krauthammer is a master at writing short essays that really have a punch. And so I'm really studying that book for another reason other than just covering the great essays.
Oh, yeah, so. And there's really so much to learn about him specifically with the injury that he had and what he had to overcome to even become anything in life. It seemed like he was, from what you were saying, he was really highly educated, and he was helping a Democratic presidential campaign, so I think he was pretty liberal for a while.
He was.
And then as he got older and more experienced and saw how life works, he got rid of that ideology pretty quickly.
Yeah, we're going to cover that in a future program because he really began to see where the Democratic Party was really starting to change, but it was actually changing for the worse.
Right.
And so he got out of it. And so, we're going to cover that. My wife really wants to be a part of that discussion, so because she can relate to it, because she was more democratic at one point, and she thought exactly like he did, but then she was, then she wanted nothing to do with it. And
right.
The thing is, I was always kind of anti-politics because of my family. My mother was a Democrat, my dad was a Republican, and they brought that into their marriage
No.
A little too often.
Well, that's really interesting. It's exciting to hear what you're talking about next. It's great to just be able to cover so much with you. This is, what is this, probably fourth or fifth time we've talked on the radio, I think. So hopefully we can have you back again very soon.
Yeah, I'll have to do some more work. I'm coming up with some new essays for trumpet.com. And again, I'll be focusing in the social areas, there's a couple essays that I've already discussed with Mr. Brad McDonald, and he's really excited. He said, "Oh, get those over here right away." So, we just have to get through this week and then finals, and then it's writing until next semester.
Well, we'll be refreshing those browsers constantly to try to get the latest from you. Thanks so much. We've been talking with Mr. Dennis Leap today, writer of Volume 13 of The Bible Story, among many other things. I really appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank you for having me, and I will be really glad to come back.
Thank you so much. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time.